Our gospel reading this morning is from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the 25th verse, ending in verse 37. Hear now the word of God to you today. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, there was a priest going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went down to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine, and then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you for whatever you spent.' Whom among these do you think was a neighbor to the one who fell into the hands of the robber?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. We come before you this morning, holy God, mindful of the clutter of our minds and the heaviness of our hearts. And it is difficult to find you in the midst of chaos and uncertainty. Remind us that you are within us and we do not need to go looking. You are as close to us as our breath. So help us in this time to simply breathe in your Holy Spirit, recognizing that it is your Spirit that speaks to us, calls to us, and heals us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Almighty God. Amen. If I were to wager a guess, I would bet that most of you, if not all of you, have heard this story before. Even people who don't know a thing about Christianity or Judaism know what a good Samaritan does. Canadian theologian Douglas Hall says that this story is the essence of Christianity, that if we are asked what our religion is all about, and we are asked in many ways every day by our secular culture, we can't go wrong by simply telling this simple story of the Good Samaritan. This story is so familiar, it's possible that it has lost its scandal, which is unfortunate, because more than anything, this story is scandalous. It's a well-worn story with many voices that puts the listener on the road to Jericho. The story opens with an expert in the law coming to Jesus to ask a question. As an expert in the law, he already knows the answer, or the answer he is looking for. So this question is not really for the lawyer's personal gain. He's not asking because he's struggling with a question. No, he's asking because he's hoping it will make Jesus struggle. The question is about salvation. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" This question is explicitly asked in the Gospel of Mark and then here in the Gospel of Luke, but it really is the implicit question for the Christian faith. How do I make sure that when I die, that I am received in heaven? The body of Christ has been broken into multiple pieces over different opinions on how to answer that question. Go to any other denomination or non-denomination, and you will get a different answer. Jesus tosses it back to the lawyer by answering the question with the question. He says, "You know the law. You tell me. You know what the scripture says." The lawyer takes the bait and proudly shares that he knows the right answer, and he takes two passages and he blends them together. He takes Deuteronomy and he takes Leviticus, and he says from Deuteronomy, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That's the Shema. And then he takes this passage from Leviticus, and he says, "And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." "Correct," Jesus says. "Now go do that." The lawyer comes back with a second question, and I wonder if this question is more earnest. I wonder if he really wants to know, "Who is my neighbor?" "I'm glad you asked," Jesus says. "Sit back and let me tell you a story. There was a man who was walking along the road to Jericho where he was robbed, beaten, and left for dead." "Ah, yes," the listeners murmured. "We know that 7-mile perilous road. They call it the Bloody Pass. It was notoriously dangerous with all of its sharp turns and rocks and easy places for someone to hide and rob and assault. It happened all the time. We don't know anything about the man, about where he came from, his nationality, or his religion, but we know that he's hurt, maybe semi-conscious, lying in the dirt. Vultures have found him, and they are starting to peck at his flesh to see if this might be breakfast." A priest was the first person to come upon the injured man, and he is repulsed by what he sees. Now, priests were esteemed people in society. As descendants from Aaron, they were put in a class all unto themselves. The sun is starting to come up and the road is getting hot, and this is what he said. "My first feeling was, of course, fear. If this man was robbed and left for dead, those criminals could have been around any corner waiting for me. This road is unsafe, and the sooner I get off this road, the better. I could see that the blood was drying on the man's eye, and I could see that he was badly beaten. Touching him would break all sorts of rules and laws and put my job in jeopardy." Now, let me just ask you this. If your life and your livelihood were put to risk by touching this man, would you do it? "I had to get out of there." The sun was now at high noon, and the heat had made the road unbearable for all living things. There was a stillness in the road and a feeling of barrenness. Levites were set apart to carry the ark for the Lord. They were responsible for the tabernacle of the covenant. They basically were in charge of all the equipment, over all the things that belonged to it. As this Levite makes his way down the road, he too comes upon the injured man, and he looks away before he vomits. and he hurries on past him, knowing his responsibility is to the temple, not to the person. The man is starting to show signs of dehydration, and his breath is starting to become shallow. And a third man comes up the road, and he is walking later in the day to avoid any confrontation with other people because he knows that he is not welcomed on this road. You see, he's a Samaritan. Now you get to decide what the Samaritan looks like, because the Samaritan represents the kind of person that you would not want to talk to on the subway. And you pray you don't have to sit next to for all eternity in heaven. Maybe he's wearing a MAGA hat. Maybe he has a shaved head and a pierced nose and gauges in his ears. Maybe he's an immigrant. For the listeners of the Gospel of Luke, when they hear that it was a Samaritan, they know that Jews and Samaritans hate each other. It was particularly virulent, a toxic kind of hatred. You know the kind, the special kind of hatred, the hatred that goes when fueled by tribalism and racism and religion, Catholic versus Protestant for centuries in Northern Ireland, Sunni versus Shia, Israeli Jews versus Palestinian Muslims. This man is despised. He is held in contempt by the citizens of the country through which he's traveling. And this is his account. I came up the road on my donkey and I saw this injured man lying naked in the dirt. I jumped off my mule and I ran over to the man and I threw my cloak over him. And then I tipped his head back and I poured water from my canteen into the man's mouth. The man sputtered and choked and gasped for more water, and miraculously, he was alive. I heaved the man onto my mule, and I walked him onto an inn to a kindly but addled innkeeper and gave him enough money to see the nameless man's care while I journeyed on with my business. There, that's how I worship the God I care to worship, the one who wants mercy on the bloody pass. Whether that's the God of the Samaritans or the Jews, I don't give a rip. All three men put the focus of this story, the camera, if you will, on the road. But there's one more perspective to consider, and that is from the man in the ditch. I was going in and out of consciousness all day. I could feel the shadow of the priest as he peered down at me from his horse, and I sensed the Levite as he scurried past. Now, once they both had passed by, I was certain I was left for dead. But then the very last person I would ever imagine helped me. He was a stranger, and he was an enemy. His presence was more offensive than the robber who left me for dead. I always assumed that those kinds of people would just be out to get me. I wouldn't have been surprised if he would have just finished the job. I would never have a meal with him. I would never be his neighbor. I would never want my children to marry his children. I despise his religion. I despise his politics. I despise his ways. And yet he saved my life. He bent down and he lifted me up, and I was completely at his mercy. He saved me. As I rode along on the back of his donkey, I opened my eyes and I got a good look at him before I passed out again. You would be surprised to know that I recognized him. The man who saved my life was Jesus. Of all the people, I did not know that I would see Jesus in my enemy. Jesus turns to the lawyer and asks the question, which one was the neighbor? And the lawyer can't bring himself to choke up the word Samaritan. So he says, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus affirms him and then says, go and do likewise. The lawyer's response is unrecorded. Anne Lamott writes, some days the only thing that can cheer me up is something bad happening to someone I hate. Preferably if it goes viral and the photo is of the person showing hair loss and perhaps the lifelong underuse of sunscreen. My heart still leaps to see this. I often recall the New Yorker cartoon of one dog saying to the other, it's not enough that we succeed, cats must also fail. This is the human condition. Mercy can be difficult to conceive of, much less practice. In a world rife with Rwanda, ISIS, malaria, your father, your mother's god-awful sister, and what children did to your own kids on the playground, and yes, the Mosque culture of mercy, she suggests, is what holds erect the skeleton of humanity. She writes, mercy is radical kindness. Mercy means offering or being offered aid in desperate straits. Mercy is not deserved, and it involves absolving the unsolvable, forgiving the unforgivable. Mercy brings us to the miracle of apology given and accepted, to unashamed humility when we have erred or forgotten. If you come to this story from the perspective of the road, then for the love of God, take heed in this story and remember to stop. Stop whatever you are doing and pay attention to the people around you. Look up from your phone and notice and listen and be kind. For Christ's sake, literally be kind. And if you come from this story from the ditch, beside the road, lying in a hospital bed, waiting at the doctor's office, sitting in a church pew, sitting in your car after you got the notice that you've lost your job, waiting in traffic, sitting in the DMV, be aware that it is Jesus who will come to you with extravagant, unconditional love and mercy. So the question is not the lawyers. What is the definition of the neighbor? The question is, who has been a neighbor to you? And the answer is, Jesus Christ has been a neighbor to you. He has been the one to show you mercy. The crucified one has been a neighbor to you. Have you felt his mercy? And has that mercy made you feel more merciful? Then in your heart, you will know what this means. Go and do likewise. Let us pray. Oh God, when we are honest about ourselves, we know that we do not choose in our own inner strength to do what is right. We talk a good game about right and wrong, but we do not have the wisdom or the power in ourselves to be righteous. We lie helpless on the side of the road, or even our best moral instincts pass us by on the other side. Come to us, O God. Come to us again in Jesus Christ. Lift us out of our brokenness and take us to the place of healing. Prone to wander, Lord, we feel it. Prone to leave the God we love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it to thy courts above. Amen.